is a great club.
I'm glad we're safety kids. It's really important.
But there's one problem we haven't talked about yet.
What's that?
What if you get lost in a big store or at a circus or something like that?
I know what to do. My mom taught me when I was little, and it works.
Everybody, thank you for tuning into This Week in Mormons. We're happy to be here with you on this fine week in the middle of April, June, July. June is the month, actually. And
every April, June, July month.
Notice how I skipped May. Don't know why.
No one likes May.
It's terrible.
It's the lusty month.
Very lusty indeed, but we're not lusty here. No, no. We are good Mormon men.
No. We are not lusty.
We do not experience the lust, as it were.
The opposite of lust. We are
love and faith. My understanding is that faith is the opposite of lust.
I say that's false. I think that, impotence would be the opposite of lust.
Was it not Joseph Smith who said that where there is lust, there cannot be faith?
It is not Joseph Smith who said that.
Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln.
All right, as long as it was Abraham Lincoln.
Well, we already bought the tickets. Abraham.
See, Lincoln. It's funny because it's a Ford's Theater joke.
I attributed somebody's quote on our Facebook wall to Abraham Lincoln. I forget who. Somebody was saying something ridiculous.
It might have been our own.
It could have been.
Yeah, I don't know.
We've had some great ones this week, Jeff. You've been all over that
Facebook. You've been all over that Facebook. Our entire staff.
If you're not a
friend
of us on Facebook, you don't believe in Mormon news.
That's true.
Or love Jesus.
You should go to Facebook.com/ThisWeekInMormons and hit that like button right now. Right now. Right now. Because I guarantee most of you are listening on your computer.
Hit it, Jeff.
Go over there. Hit that like button. Find us. Don't make me cry like Glenn Beck.
No, here's where I was. I don't care what it says on the cup as long as there is Coke in the cup. David O. McKay.
Yeah,
and then some guy commented and said, he deleted his comment.
See, you probably offended him.
I bet I did. Sorry, dude. But he said, I'll take whatever the Jesus says about the cup. And I was like, Abraham Lincoln. I thought it was witty. Borderline clever.
It was okay. I don't think anyone got it.
No, there was... Someone liked it. Let's see. Oh, we liked it. We liked our hook.
That was me liking your comment because Facebook does not let page managers ever comment as themselves.
Oh.
It prohibits it.
We just like each other. That's... Honestly, who are we kidding? This whole show is just about you and I.
It is a great exercise in vanity, but that's
friend
right.
Friend time with Jeff and Al.
Should we rename the show?
SEO-wise, I don't think it's as strong.
You are welcome to episode number 1 of Friend Time, also episode 176 of This Week in Mormons.
What an exciting time in our lives, Jeff. Jeff, this was the first week in a long time that I went without seeing you. It felt awful.
Well,
I missed you.
Well, it was like your first week in like a week.
Yeah, I know. I was there.
I know. I'm sorry. Can I tell you how great David O. McKay is?
Oh, how's this book you're reading? Yeah.
I've been enjoying it. You know, I read it when I can, when I have time. I'll go on.
It's a toilet reader, huh?
I'll go on a lunch on my lunch break and get some in. Pretty, well, one thing, a whole other topic would be the wonderful racism that abounded within the upper echelons of the Brethren back in the day. But also, like that quote that I said from him, the longer story of the Coke in the cup is that he was at a movie or something like that. And you know how Coke, you know, you buy cups and generically they just say Coca-Cola on it for just for fountain drinks. And the guy who was giving him a drink said, now President McKay, it just says Coca-Cola because of our licensing agreement with the company, but I can put this with root beer or 7-Up or orange cola or orange soda. And that's when President McKay said, son, I don't care what it says on the outside of the cup. I just care that there's Coke in the cup. Also, there's an anecdote in there, and I want to research the what happened with it, but they were at some reception, and someone served rum cake. And President McKay went to get a slice, all happy, and people looked aghast and said, surely, President McKay, you cannot have the rum cake. It's what about the word of wisdom? And he just looked and said, the word of wisdom only says not to drink alcohol. It says nothing about eating it.
And then with a big smile.
And then with a big smile, he just took it in there. So there you go. Interesting.
Boy, I would have loved to have had that on my mission with all those liquored chocolates. Mm.
Ah, yeah, the brandy ones.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know that.
Yeah, I can get around, like, not like I'm trying to get around it, but some forms of alcohol, like cooking with it and stuff, this and that, I don't mind because it cooks.
Yeah, cocaine with some alcohol.
Exactly. It's cooked out. But things like when you have a cake and then you pour booze on top of it for flavor, it doesn't go anywhere.
It's true.
That booze is just sitting in the cake.
You can't just booze the cake. No.
You have not transformed the booze.
Because pretty soon people are making booze popsicles, jello shots, and things like that. I don't care about drinking. I'm just eating.
Exactly. Dogs and cats living together.
Marijuana brownies. It's all happening.
Okay. So great. So that's that. Should we do our usual check-ins with one another? I want to know how
Jeff, how are you? Jeff, tell me about life.
Life is fascinating. Great moment. I know people get tired probably of primary stories and stuff. One thing's funny is last week we forgot to even mention on the air that Al sat in my primary class.
I played Nephi in the story of Nephi.
We had him put on some sheets and some stuff. And a poor little five-year-old boy got on the ground looking terrified.
Now I am 6'7", and these children are none over, I'd say, 3 foot.
Yeah.
I was huge, and I made somebody volunteer to be Laban. It was not his best moment. I think he wet his pants.
Oh, it was great. The great thing I learned from that experience is it doesn't matter the age group. People just don't know what to do with Al.
That is actually very fair and accurate.
They could be 4 years old, from 4 to 40, and it's really the same reaction. Just appalled and confused.
And neither do I know what to do with them. I just come at them full throttle. That's the only thing I know how to do. That's what I do every time. Here's me, people.
So anyway, on Sunday, you might have remembered, Al, I think we might have rehearsed the song Love Is Spoken Here when you were there. We've been doing it for weeks.
Yeah,
and because it was Father's
really
Day.
Really carried the man.
Because it
section.
Was Father's Day, the youth went to go up there, the primary kids to sing. First, of course, I'm so glad when Daddy comes home, blah, blah, blah. And then to sing Love Is Spoken Here with the dude part. They requested that the male primary teachers also go there for a little backup because the boys, aside from sounding like girls, also were off key and didn't even know what they were doing. So the moment of truth comes, and I'm kind of looking around as
primary, you were the only male teacher.
As primary people are collecting themselves, and the second counselor kind of walks by me, and she's like, "Well, I think we need to go up." And I said, "Okay." So I go up there as the only adult because no adult women were with the girls. The girls were fine, and there's always primary kids, and here I am, 6'2", just standing behind all these children. And it was, and I felt so awkward standing there at first that when I knew they were
gonna, no other men came up, of course.
No, none of them came up. And so when they sang, we're going to sing Daddy Comes Home, instead I sat down behind them next to a member of the stake presidency. And I decided just to chill there and kind of be the invisible echo or something. And I asked my wife if they could hear me in the congregation. She's like, "Oh, yeah, because you got these boys," and then you hear this. "Mine is a home where every..."
I love this. I love that this happened.
Yeah, my wife was just cracking up, because especially at the beginning when I'm just standing there just like, "Well, here I am. Hi,
it's
everybody."
Like me being welcomed, getting sung the welcome song.
You missed out.
Next to Hannah.
They were sort of... That girl was so just like...
She was sure I was going to crush her.
That was actually a reasonably subdued "hello, hello" when you showed up as well. Usually they scream, the twins, because the twins are special.
Yeah, well, that's because I taught them "hello" in Ukrainian, and they had to roll an R. There was a lot to focus on.
It wasn't just that. See, the way we should have done it was "dobre, dien," just kind of kill the diphthong and make
it's
it work that way.
It's not dien.
I know.
It's dien.
I know.
Dien.
Dien. I know. There's a diphthong there. But it would have made more sense than "dobre, dien, dobre, dien, dobre, dien." It killed it for the kids. It was too much.
I know how to control children, Jeff. Yeah. You fill their mouth with words and make them throw up.
So anyway, that was a fun and exciting time that I had on Sunday. Other than that, I'm just sad this week that one of my dear boss, who is he's going bye-bye, going back to Denmark this week, and I'll be sad to see.
No one says bye-bye, Jeff.
NSYNC said bye-bye-bye. Bye-bye.
He's going.
Don't want to be a bye-bye. Fool for you. Nothing but a pliver in a game of two.
Okay. Well, good. I'm glad your boss is going bye-bye.
You may hate me, but it ain't no lie. Bye.
You just Googled those lyrics, you wiener. How dare you?
Don't want to make it tough. I just want to tell you that I had enough.
Bye-bye-bye.
Yeah. Well, it might sound crazy, but yeah, then it ain't no lie, but bye-bye-bye. Yeah.
Bye-bye-bye.
So that's all. Okay. Al, tell us of your travels and travails, and then we can...
Okay, well, so yeah. So we can move let's on. See. Oh, you know what I did? I went and spoke to the homeschool convention.
Did your remarks go with the... You were toiling over this.
I thought they went well. I actually got a little bit nervous, which I normally... Like, normally I'm very fine going to speak to people. But I wasn't sure if I had a full hour of homeschool content.
Or if the homeschoolers would understand the words you would use.
Right. Also,
the literacy angle is also a difficult one there.
I really enjoyed the opportunity to talk to them about, like, going from homeschool into the normal routine of society, I think is actually surprisingly difficult.
It's like leaving prison.
No matter how smart you are, no matter how confident you are, excited you are, you're still sure that you're an idiot. Which also I realized, and I drew this analogy, holds true when you get into business.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're sure that the next guy up from you has it all figured out. And he knows what he's doing, right? Like I look at other CEOs of companies that are building great companies, and I just think, man, those guys have got it. They've got it. And then you actually get the chance for a heart-to-heart with them, and they are just as clueless as you are. You listen to the guy standing there speaking about his rah-rah, look how great we can all be speech, and he is just as worried / concerned / sensitive as anybody else you'll ever meet. So learning that for me was a really big key, and so I tried to convey that to the homeschool.
No, I forgot.
Children.
Where did you give this talk? Was it in some sort of a YMCA?
No, it was at a city convention center. It was fairly well attended.
Which city, though?
One of my favorite, Provo, one of my Heber. Favorite moments in there, though, is like I envisioned this like sort of graduating class of youth. That was not the case. It was like from 12 to 18, this whole range of kids in there. And I made mention, I said, you know, there's more than one way to skin a cat. And this kid raises his hand and says, like it with a chainsaw? And I was like, yes. Yes, absolutely. First, why are you raising your hand during my keynote speech? Second, of course, this is very important.
Did you say why are you raising your hand during my keynote speech?
I wish I would have had the gall to just be completely outraged.
You should have just stopped your remarks and just stared at him in silence.
And then said, are we done?
Just said, I'll wait. That's a great method, by the way. If you have a lot of teenagers, just stand there silently.
Oh my gosh.
No, it worked really well. When I was in high school, we had a great principal, only for a couple of years, because then he went corporate. He went to the district office because he was great. He would start assemblies for the whole school. Instead of trying to calm people down, he would just stand there at the microphone, and then he would just say, I'll wait, and the place would just go. It would be so quiet. Much quieter than any other circumstance. He taught us to respect him. You should have done this with the homeschoolers.
I should have beat them. But so that was fun. That was fun. The one other unique thing about this event was they gave me a loaf of bread, which I've never received as a thank you for
this
speaking, but I guess it's an old tradition.
In Provo?
Tremendous cinnamon bread, yeah.
The bartering system is alive and well.
It really is.
This was your gift of state from Provo.
I think that's fair. And then let's see. So then the next day I flew out to St. Louis. Got picked up by some friends out there, and we drove to Nauvoo.
Hookers.
Where I spent the weekend with my buddies. I went through the Nauvoo Temple up there, which was always fun. Climbed to the top of the staircase, looked down. Exciting times.
You've been there before, though, right?
Yeah, I've been there a bunch of times. The funny thing with this time, so I'm there, and you, I'm interested to hear your feedback, Jeff.
Okay.
I'm there. I pack only shorts and a t-shirt.
Typical.
So my buddy, who is... a good 7 inches shorter than I am and a good 100 pounds lighter than I am. I borrow his shirt and was contemplating wearing my shorts and flip-flops. And I was like, no, I need suit pants. So I go in. He's at work. I go into his closet and find his biggest suit and slide these suit pants on. Well, obviously, so like the shirt, I've got the sleeves rolled up and the tie tied around the neck so that the not buttoning thing isn't as big a deal. It's fine. But these pants, I have to pull up midway into my belly so that I can suck it in enough to get these things to clasp. And they clasp just barely. And I'm easily a foot off the ground hem-wise. And I have either my bright orange shoes or my slippers. So I wear my slippers, my flip-flops. And so I've got these ridiculous high-water suit pants. Like showing maybe barely Dwight Wayne-esque Bermuda pants, you know, capri style,
pedal pushers,
and some slippers, yeah, sure. and I just wear it right into the temple, and I've never seen so many disgusted looks from old people in it. And my thought was, I'm like, this is my Sunday best. This is the best I have. I'd rather go to the temple and partake of those blessings and sit outside and wish I was dressed better. So in I went. And then I was very confident until I got in there, and then I felt like a total jerk. Should I, Jeff? Should I have abstained? Should I have not gone?
Well, first of all, I'm appalled that you have other buddies other than me. That seems to be the real problem here, first of all.
Yeah,
I thought that I was kind of like the one, and that there were no greater buddies before me. But
I didn't say greater.
Okay. But I don't even want like greater than or equal to. Less than. If you had me and other people's names, I want that arrow to be pointing to them without a line underneath it. Okay?
Jeff.
Now.
You wouldn't have fit me either.
Now, moving along, to your original question, I'm not sure. It's a fine line because it is true, but is it your best? But the only reason it was your best is because you're too lazy to plan. Or
yeah, that's exactly right. I was absolutely too lazy, but
or just pack Sunday clothes when you might be somewhere.
I didn't pack, and so I end up there. And what do? I go in with the most incredible high, and better than that, like because they had the button so high, I had the biggest looking booty of all time. Like my wallet went horizontal into the pocket. That's how big this thing was.
Well, let me ask you this. Had you thought that you, going to Nauvoo, that you knew you were going to Nauvoo, did you think you would be going to the temple?
I did think I was going to the temple. In my mind, though, because I have an apartment in Kansas City where I also have a suit and pants and all
sure,
that stuff.
Sure, sure, sure.
I don't pack clothes.
But now, did you fly to St. Louis or did you fly to Kansas City then drive to St. Louis?
I flew to St. Louis. Okay. I did not plan it out well in my mind. But I often find myself at temples unplanned.
I'll
be driving somewhere, have some extra time. Do you go in jeans and a t-shirt?
And that does happen. I do feel like if you kind of have premeditated and think you're going to be going there, it's worth it to go the extra mile in the first place and make sure you're covered and make sure to make that happen.
Sure. What I should have done, yes, absolutely.
Like at my wedding, for example, would have been a great example of a place where you didn't have to wear sneakers in the temple. That's a great
I was example. The only guy there with the orange shoelace shoes in the temple.
But aside from that, but I do think,
however, there was also the guy that was like going to a Renaissance fair after the temple, who was dressed in full regalia, that exited that way. I didn't, and the Elvis impersonator. I didn't mind my shoes at all compared to those two.
This is also true. But also okay. But also on the flip side of things, so I think if you're able to plan, then I think it behooves us to make sure that we go out of our way to do that. Because while it is about what the wearing our best and being our best before the Lord,
Sherlock. Of course we should.
Well, so part of this is I'm saying is you should have because you knew this was coming. That said, though, I think that the Lord does accept us based on us because He knows where our heart is.
If I was shorts and a t-shirt, should I still have gone? Let's say ye, O Pope.
And that's when it gets a bit different, because shorts and t-shirt, that's when I don't know. Because what if that really is...
You got nothing. You are on the beach in Hawaii, and you decide you want to go to the temple. Mm-hmm. Can you go?
No, you go shopping first.
You go shopping
you
first.
You buy a nice pair of Dockers.
I would not. I mean,
get a white shirt. Go to Payless.
Having worked in a temple, I would not have minded at all if somebody walked in shorts and a t-shirt and was just like, "Hey, I really want to be here, and I didn't. You know, my bag got lost. I didn't have it." Yeah.
I mean, obviously that's the case.
I'd be fine with that.
It's really about how we approach it. If we approach it casually, and because the problem is, of course, we might not approach it casually because of a situation like that. But our dress could obviously give off the impression that we are treating it casually, even if we really are not. And then, of course, it falls on the membership to try to remember that, you know, there are various circumstances for everything and nobody's perfect and blah, blah, blah. Obviously, if it was just because you're lazy or don't want to dress up or anything, then that's a problem. But So I don't think it's fair. The end of the world that this happened to you or that you caused this situation to happen.
There were so many tourists who were so entertained with my antics, though. And well, I have
like
never
during
been
the
so
session,
excited.
During the session or something? Were you?
No, during the session, I was fine. I was an equal. We were all in the same clothes. That's what I love about the temple.
Good job.
Coming out, though, there's everybody sitting there taking pictures. I know I'm showing up in some Facebook.com picture somewhere as, look at this guy. I can't believe it.
As
I was sliding down the pole outside the temple to go home.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, when you slide down the railing, you're bound to get some... You're going to get some looks.
I'm just kidding.
You're going to get some hop-ons.
Anywho, we've got Mormon news, Jeff. Mormon things
this
have been happening...
This is Mormon news. This is a Mormon issue.
Every
right
day.
We talked about. This is a
no,
Mormon issue.
No, the Mormon news that's real is Glenn Beck.
Oh, yes, because he's Mormon, you see.
He is Mormon. I'm excited he's back. Remember when we had our weekly dose of Glenn Beck back during the 2008 election? What a time that
was. Well, it
was
after that. But it was more when he was on Fox News and his content was more readily available because it was on the airwaves as opposed to sequestered over on The Blaze.
Yeah, we can't afford to pay for this.
I don't want to pay for
the,
Glenn Beck is a prophet. He is a prophet, ladies and gentlemen. He has come and told us how it is.
I don't think that's all that's required to be a prophet, but thank you, Jeff. Good input. Very good ideas, everyone.
He has seen things and revelated.
Also not quite a prophet, but yes, thank you, Jeff. Very good ideas.
He speaks for the Lord.
What he has said, though, this is newsworthy. It got written up a little bit because he quotes the Book of Mormon in one of his radio addresses. He found his voice.
Do we need?
Hooray.
After last week when it was gone, it's back all of
a sudden. He had no voice last week. Now he has all voice and a weird, oddly fitting hat. But Glenn Beck feels that
can I comment on the hat?
The end is here.
No. I'm guessing he's wearing the hat out of solidarity for the Washington Redskins owner who refuses to rename the team based on its allegedly offensive racism.
Jeff, that is a Blackhawks logo, but thank you.
No, I'm pretty sure it's a Redskins, not a Blackhawks.
No, you're wrong.
Okay,
but anyway. He's a
dang
big
it,
hockey
you're right.
Fan.
It's the, that's not the Redskins.
Of course I'm right. I'm a grown man. I would know these things. so he quotes the Book of Mormon, mainly drawing analogies with things that he's seeing happen. And he's saying, I feel like he addresses it in a fairly classy way, right? Where he says, I also believe in a Book of Mormon. It's a story of watch for these things, the end of the Americas. It's sort of a calendar of events that lets us draw parallels, which I thought was a good way of explaining the reason why he was mentioning it. I'm always a little bit wary of like just bringing it up for the sake of bringing it up. I don't feel like you're helping with that.
I mean, I looked at the Book of Mormon. I've always looked at the Book of Mormon as a compilation of revelations designed to help us draw closer to Christ. But
well, yeah, another
if we
testament
want to reduce
of Jesus
it,
Christ, sure.
But if we want to reduce it to a second coming
calendar,
sure.
Well, in this instance, that's all he was trying to draw out of it. So he shares some of those stories in it, and then he says at the end, he says, I told my staff once, if you ever hear me mention the Book of Mormon on the air, we are at the end. I'm sorry to say that I feel we are now at the place where you had better have your house in order. I don't know, like obviously he feels strongly about this. I don't question his sincerity in feeling like we are off the deep end and doing that thing. I think if I had nothing to lose, I'd be throwing the Book of Mormon out in my professional life as well. I'd just be like, here's where it is. And maybe we should commend him for this, Jeff. I mean, maybe, like, I'm genuine when I'm saying maybe he's a stand-up guy for throwing his beliefs out there. Probably not the greatest move ratings wise. But if he's at that place,
what are you talking about? The people who pay money to listen to Glenn Beck want to be preached to and be fear-mongered. This is what they want. This is not bad.
Do you feel like he's sincere in this?
I think it seems like he is sincere. And the people who are going to come out against him and attack him are those who would attack him anyway, or attack Mormonism in and of itself. And of course, there may be a contingent of conservative types.
We have an uptick in right-wing crazies?
No,
that will be
we will
the
have
church.
An uptick in baptisms now.
That's what I mean.
Referral cards are going to show up, and it's not going to be from Temple Square. It's going to be from the
How come Glenn Beck hasn't done an "And I'm a Mormon" campaign?
Yeah, I really feel like Glenn Beck and like Mitt Romney, and I feel like all these jokers need to get together and do their duty.
What if they did a parody "I'm a Mormon" campaign that just joked about like
the mission of the church and righteousness?
Bet you didn't know this, but I have a big family. You probably didn't know this, but I am a Republican.
I would love to see Mitt Romney do one. Now that the election is over. My name is Mitt Romney. I'm a father, a businessman.
What is? Are you impersonating him? Or are you impersonating Smithers from Simpsons?
It's very close, actually.
Yes.
I ran for president. I'm a Mormon. Yeah.
All right, keep going.
Oh, boy. Okay. Folks, I'm going to bring it up again because it's been brought up before, but now the church has once again waded into the debate. The church has put the kibosh down on any of the misinformation.
Not the kebab, the kibosh.
Or the kielbasa, for that matter. The misinformation and unnecessary concern regarding the whole cannery apocalypse that's been going on for the past month, right?
The
canpocalypse.
Sure.
So, the church had issued stuff in the past, but they've done it again to really, really clarify stuff. And they've blasted it through all of their channels to say, look. Of course, because people have said it's due to, food and safety regulation, Obamacare, any sort of thing. And they said, of course, food and safety regulation.
Obamacare?
Yes. Of course, Jeff. Food and safety regulation in general could play a factor in it. That's understandable. But really, it's what's going on is all but 12 of the church's 101, amazing we have that many, home storage centers in the U.S. and Canada. In all but 12 of them, patrons can no longer self-can products. This is not like an East of the Mississippi thing, okay? And of course, like we've said before, they may purchase items pre-canned or pre-packaged at no additional cost. The church has been weighing this for a long time.
Why? How come that only 12 of them will let you can your own stuff?
I'm going to go out.
Why are they shutting them all down?
Well, interesting. The 12 ones are in Canada, Arizona, Texas, Utah, and Idaho. Texas is an interesting one. The other ones I get because they're all kind of in the Intermountain Corridor.
Yeah, where they're clean.
Well, no, but I would guess its membership density perhaps can still merit having them available to the people. Whereas elsewhere, sure, it's a nice thing to be able to go to the cannery and do this, but perhaps the man hours involved, the money involved, it's easier instead to just make it a facility where one can pick things up for one's
So self. Has the FBI raided any church facilities?
No. Sorry, sure? Ladies and gentlemen.
Or are you just saying that?
No, it's true. Basically, the thing is that it's more effective and cost-effective for the church to produce and ship high-quality pre-canned stuff rather than let people do it themselves. And, of course, by offering things pre-canned or pre-packaged, they utilize warehouse space in a more efficient manner. Okay?
Who's this story written by?
The church.
Janelle Pugmire.
Well, this is this one. But this one right here, of course, this comes from the news of the church. And, by the way, the ones that have stayed open, just so you know, Lethbridge, Alberta, Canada is the one Canadian one, of course, Canada, Alberta, that part. Mesa, Arizona, Boise, Idaho, Idaho Falls, Idaho, Carrollton, Texas, Linden, Utah, Logan, Utah, Ogden, Utah, Salt Lake City, Welfare Square, Sandy, Utah, Springville, Utah, and St. George, Utah. All the rest will be providing pre-canned goods. And now you know. The more you know. So I'm tired of hearing people say things about this, because now we know.
Now we know. Done.
So don't worry about it, folks. Yes, you might not be able to go to the cannery anymore, and you won't be able to tell your children and share that experience of canning with them. But I hear stories from my parents about going to the church-owned farms back in the day and doing youth projects there, and they don't do that anymore either. So you know what?
Yeah, whoop.
We're all just going to have to find new ways to adapt, such as doing the Mormon Trek on Mormon Trek
Drive. I'm on your side here, Jeff.
If you go to Des Moines, Iowa, and you go to Mormon Trek Avenue, that's where you do it.
The Mormon Trek. Jeff, can we talk for just a minute about Miss Utah?
Oh, I would love nothing more than to talk about Miss Utah.
Can we talk for just a minute?
Oh, Marissa Powell, you naughty girl.
So first, Jeff, should she have won despite her snafu?
I would argue not only should she have won, she should have been given a 15% stake in the Miss USA organization.
Thank you. Finally, somebody on my side. So for those of you who don't know, Miss Utah was given a question.
Do we need to play this? Would that be easier?
You want to? Yeah, we can play it. Let's do it. Hold on.
I mean, are you on the YouTube? We got to make sure we're on the same one.
Let me get on the YouTubes.
Here, I'll send you one right now. This is the preparation that we're known for.
I've got it.
Well, there's many versions of it. There are many versions.
Oh, gosh. All right. Playing. Ready?
Where are you starting at the very beginning? Okay, go.
Yeah, at the very... Hold on, wait. I got to skip this ad. Hold on. 3, 2, 1, skipping ad now. Oh, she looks so elegant.
She's walking
in this
up.
Nightgown. She's
look, there's a Jonas brother. That alone makes it better.
Look at this.
Judge number three.
What is she, 6 foot?
Nene Leakes, your question, please.
Here we go, folks.
Wore tank tops
as a
child.
A recent report shows that in 40% of American families with children, women are the primary earners, yet they continue to earn less than men. What does this say about society?
That's messed up.
Women are normally the primary earners, but they're not making as much as men.
And how we are continuing to try to strive to...
Oh boy. Oh, gosh. Yep, she knows she's bombing. Oh, a little
figure
smile.
Figure out how to create jobs right now. That is the biggest problem. And I think
she wants
especially
to cry.
The men are seen as the leaders of this. And so we need to try to figure out how to
we're gonna have to
create
break
education
up.
Better.
I just don't think this is
so
going
that we
anywhere.
Can solve this problem. Thank you.
Thank you. Boom.
We have to create education better.
Boom.
There could have been many simple things to say, such as, what does this say about society? Well, it's messed up. There's a simple answer. No one was asking that she proposed the solution. Simply, what does this say about society?
It says that society is a bad idea. We should go back to foraging. Pre-societal.
I believe we should get back into the feudal
system. She's had her 15 minutes of fame have happened, though. She went on, where'd she go? Jimmy Kimmel?
She was on
the
Jimmy
Today
Fallon,
Show.
Yeah. Now
the question is,
what do we know about Marissa Powell?
Maybe this is all strategic. She's doing all of this for attention. Would beautiful women, full of fakeness and falsehoods, do anything ridiculous like this for attention? Does that happen?
Yes.
Well, but
now I wonder.
At least Utah's getting out there, right? We've been meaning to get more publicity.
But let's think
more
about
publicity.
I wonder if is she a Mormon chick? She went to BYU. We can assume she's
of
Mormon.
Of course, she's a Mormon chick.
But is she like Mormon? Is she a TBM? Oh yeah, I used that expression.
Wait, what was that one?
True believing Mormon.
Oh, is she a TBM?
Obviously not.
Given
her a modest clothing, that makes me view her as pornography.
No,
clearly she does not have a testimony.
It forces me.
She is forcing me to think evil thoughts and betray everyone I know.
Yeah, it's her fault.
It's all her fault.
You're not at fault here.
All her fault. So, yeah, I hope she enjoys her 15 minutes. It's been good because it was 2007 when we had the Miss South Carolina who talked about, you know, like the Iraq and such as. So that was great. It's very nice to see this again. I love you, Utah.
That bathing suit would not fly at BYU. I'm just saying.
I don't. Neither would her dress.
Neither would her dress.
But the makeup, I feel, could go places at BYU. You could do very well there. You know, you go over to Bon Lizay or whatever that place was called, and you just live the dream.
Wait, go to where? Bon Gazaya?
Bon Lossie. Mango Lossie. What's it called? The school with the things and the makeup and the pudding pops and Theo.
Oh, okay. Sure. Yeah.
Moving right along, folks. City Creek, you might have heard of it, right?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Al almost bought a condo there, but decided not to.
I opted out.
That's not true. He's like, I have to live across the street from the Salt Palace. I need this in my life. But really, what we found out in the first 9 months of operation, I feel like it's been open longer than nine months, though.
No, just 9 months. It's beautiful.
No, more than 9 months.
New and interesting.
No, it has to be more than 9 months because over a year ago, you and I took old Brocky Brock shopping and stuff, and it was open then, remember?
That's a fact.
That is a fact. So I don't, but maybe they've only just reported sales. Either way, it's whenever it opened in its first 9 months, it made $200 million in revenue.
So does that mean stores made $200 million or the City Creek itself generated?
All it says is the Lavish Shopping Center is on track to generate $266 million in sales. Okay, so there you go, in the first year of operation.
Okay.
So that doesn't say anything about rent, fees, or taxes.
Do they get a percentage of that? How does this work?
I don't know how it works. But we do know that it's at the expense of the Gateway, folks. I remember the Gateway, a more family-oriented center. This is what I like to see from this article from Magic Valley. The Magic Valley alleges that the Gateway is more family-friendly.
I just like when you say that, the Magic Valley.
More family.
I'll be honest, if there was a megaplex at City Creek, I would never in a million years go to the Gateway again. The City Creek has a Microsoft store.
Oh, well, make sure to go get your Windows
RT.
It
has an Apple store, and it has a Chick-fil-A. What more do you want, people?
I thought the Apple store was going to leave City Creek and go over. Oh, City Creek has the Apple store.
Yeah, it left the Gateway already. In a shady move, apparently.
Yeah, no one's in the Gateway anymore.
Apparently, City Creek promised that they would not take the Apple Store, explicitly address the Apple Store concern. And then a few months into in there, they gave a crazy discount on the lease to get the Apple Store over to
It is kind City of Creek. A kind of a messed up move when you really think about it. You can't put two large open-air shopping centers like that so close to each other. And, you know,
it's just a lot of shopping. If you want to go to Rick's Sporting Goods, you got to go to the Gateway. So that's a big draw.
I mean, the church knew what they were doing in investing in this and making it all nice right by Temple Square.
Here's the thing. You can't fault savvy business.
No, you can't. And it is savvy business. It's a better location. The Gateway's fine, but it's a little more out of the way. City Creek is a better location, all things considered. And it's nicer than the Gateway. But the Gateway has a planetarium, so... Trade-offs.
So here's the downside, though, is like you don't want to be shady in business deals.
Exactly.
You can be aggressive and businessy, but you don't want to be shady.
Yeah, and it was a little shady. Some aspects of it, I feel like, have been a little shady.
Yeah, but great move on the church's part, making investments that are paying out. I had my doubts. I looked at City Creek and said, there's no way. No one will come here.
I just feel awful for the Gateway. The Gateway opened to so much fanfare. It did so well. It was a great place for people to go. They were so into it. And it was
during the Olympics, yes.
And it was doing fine. And then they just had to come along and say, guess what? Crossroads and ZCMI Center are a joke.
What about Trolley Square? What about the Trolley Square?
I like their sign.
They have a Whole Foods.
Don't they have?
That's what they're contending, though. Is that City Creek is like City Creek is killing all of the downtown shopping. Besides them,
this is what happens. Good job, us. Go Mormons. We know how to run other people out of business. Booyah!
Whoa!
Booyah! Yeah, that's fair.
Speaking of booyah, he recently took a trip over to the old UK. And goes on some radio interviews and gets sort of just grilled relentlessly by some BBC radio hosts who just like rapid fire questions at him. What is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints' view on gay marriage? Why is your church so secretive? Do you have something to hide? What's your view on black people? So he was kind of taken by surprise. He was not prepared for all of that. He was looking for something else, I'm sure. And felt a little bit attacked.
Yeah, this is all according to his wife. So that's who wrote the article. It's almost like a hey, don't pick on my husband kind of article.
Yeah. What's great about it though is like he's got the I'm a Mormon campaign that's all over there.
Yeah.
And then he goes over there and was not prepared for these questions.
In other famous person news. This is coming.
Him and Miss Utah. Hold on. Him and Miss Utah are in the same boat here. They just get. Why are people asking so many questions lately?
Do you know. Hold on. Do you know who else is also a famous Mormon?
Amy Adams.
Amy Adams. Now, this comes from.
Is the only other famous Mormon I know.
She's the only one. Actually, this article will tell us that she's not the only famous Mormon. But from Irish
who else
Central.
Is a famous Mormon?
Well, according to the article, at the very end of this article, as Amy isn't the only famous Mormon, the Killers singer Brandon Flowers is still practicing in the church. So there we go. In case Amy Adams was not the one, you can know that Brandon Flowers is also famous. They're the only two, though. But Amy Adams, you probably know her from countless films. She was nominated for an Oscar in Junebug and also, I believe, for the Master. And she's in many films. Like Enchanted, so many exciting things. The point is, this article says she can't let go of her Mormon values. And this has gone around in other places, but I like the Irish Central's take on it more because it caters to anyone of Irish descent. And of course, anyone who is Irish is well versed in the world of Catholic guilt, which is probably the lens through which they looked at this piece when they wrote it. Yeah, it's kind of funny because the church, you know, bans coffee, tea, drugs. We have the law of chastity. And then it says she's no longer a practicing Mormon, but she still follows the same moral code she was taught as a child. But then she says...
Is this even a real article, Jeff?
It really just makes no sense because it actually talks more about religious guilt. It says she still has the same moral code, but she doesn't. She talks about how her friends go partying and go overboard at bars. She feels bad about it. It's really more that she feels guilt, not that she is a non-practicing Mormon who still lives by the same moral code. No, no. This is not Katherine Heigl, folks. Okay? Don't get your hopes up. What are you typing to me?
So other articles in the same publication.
Why shouldn't we talk about LeBron James?
No, because I just wonder if this publication is like the Irish version of The Onion. Because the other article that I'm reading says LeBron James becomes second NBA player to come out after Jason Collins. And it's got all these like dramatized pictures of LeBron James being gay. Maybe this is all a joke.
Okay, but I swear I saw.
Is that a real interview?
I'm pretty sure.
Is this my Mormon trek moment?
I swear I saw this somewhere else though. That's the thing. Let's see.
I hope so.
NZ New Zealand City also has this or something.
Why is New Zealand and Australia the only guys talking about
it? New Zealand
this?
And Ireland. Okay. Vancouver Sun, Amy Adams says strict Mormon upbringing left her unprepared for Hollywood glamour.
Okay, maybe it's fair. I just saw their other articles and I was like, this can't be real.
My Mormon past left me afraid to have fun, says the Malaysia Sun.
Well, that's anyone, though. I mean, come on. Of course we can't have fun. We're Mormon. What do you want, people? Everything?
Oh, that's a great photo of LeBron James, like, on top of a dude.
It's just, like, these awkward screen caps that, like, make no sense.
Yeah, this one I don't get. The other one seems based in reality, but this one is, maybe because it's Irish Central. All right. Do Celtics fans hate LeBron James? So it's, like, a joke like that? I don't know.
Okay, so in other great moments
here.
Yeah,
let's finish this episode. I'm done.
Whoa, bro.
I want to go to bed, bro.
In other great moments, Jeff put up a great article called Wanting to Be Liked. And
it's
said,
for you, Al.
And said, here, Al, we can talk about you. This is about some woman who just wants to be liked.
Actually, she talks about the value, the problem, and how much we as have a natural need to try
to
be
our
liked.
Self-esteem really be defined by the number of likes on a Facebook post?
And that's what she's talking about. She's saying we don't need to
be
liked.
I'll be honest. If I get under 50 likes on a photo, I delete it. I take it down.
You're like my wife.
She
gets 100 likes on an Instagram photo and I get 20. So sad.
It's because your wife takes better pictures than
it's
you.
It's because she takes pictures of herself and she's beautiful, so people like her. And it's women liking women. You know, they'll just like and say, you're so pretty. Guys don't do that to each other. It wouldn't make any sense.
No, I do that to you all the time.
I've also
like,
noticed,
go.
If
I
your
post, hair looks awesome.
Anytime I post a photo of myself or of her, then I get a bunch. Then I get like 50 or 60 likes out of it. As opposed to pictures of me or stuff. That's unrelated.
Yeah,
anyway.
Always include women in your... this is good Instagram strategy.
So Al needs to be liked.
So she says, sometimes we just want to be liked. And so it's hard to tell teenagers, don't worry about being popular. Just be you. Because that desire to be liked never goes away. Whatever. Jeff, I say suck it up. Quit being a weenie.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, then.
Now,
lastly, coming from, I believe, the fine town of Carlsbad, New Mexico, which I actually like. Good place. You know, the Pecos River, fun times like that. However, they wrote a very poor piece this week that's entitled, Mormon Missionary Turns Himself In for Sexual Abuse. None of this makes any sense.
Oh, gosh.
Now, if this were a real story worth reporting, well, sorry, it's not that it's not worth reporting because a lot of the content is, but if this were totally legit, it would not just be in the Carlsbad Current Argus for an online information oasis for the Pecos Valley. So what happened is, it says a Mormon missionary reportedly turned himself in for sexually abusing a child, according to a police report. This guy named Patrick Oliphant of Carlsbad is accused of molesting a 5-year-old girl while babysitting, a crime he reportedly confessed to in May. A criminal complaint, blah, blah, blah. The thing is, it says that this guy actually lives in Michigan right now, where he is training to be a missionary for the church. And it says this someone named Stephen Hess, his missionary leader, said that. So I have no idea what that means. Is he a standing missionary? Is Stephen Hess his mission president? Is Stephen Hess his mission prep teacher in Michigan, and he's not actually a missionary at all?
There's so many holes here.
There are a lot of holes here.
Is LeBron James gay?
Yes.
These are the hard-hitting questions that these articles are asking.
LeBron James is gay. So that's all. It's just I won't even post the link because I don't want the. I already sent a strongly worded letter to the author of this article, and said
I like that you take the. Time to write long thought out. Comments.
It wasn't super long. It
was email. No, I like the Daily Universe. Some of your comments are ridiculous.
My comments? I haven't commented on the Daily.
Crazy retorts.
I haven't commented on the Daily Universe in ages. What are you talking about?
I'm just viewing your profile.
On the Daily Universe? Oh, send it to me. I haven't looked at that in years. Show me, show me, show me.
Okay.
I want to go to there. Anyway, Natalie Gross, ngross at currentargus.com. Get your facts straight. Don't mislead the public if it's not really a missionary doing things.
Now, is Stephen Hess a mission president?
That's no one knows. That's true. Hess mission president.
I don't know. I have no idea who this guy is.
It fills it in a little bit if you look for Stephen Hess mission president. But let's see here. Stephen Hess.
He begins.
This is when the show slowly drifts away and we sit here and forget that we're on the air.
No, Jeff. No.
Mormon mission boundaries realign.
Yeah, he's in Michigan, Lansing. That's where
he's
a mission president.
So maybe he actually is a missionary then. There we go.
Maybe you should withdraw your previous comment.
Well, I wasn't super mean. I actually said, look, I'm confused by this. If he's not a missionary, you should be clear about this. Or I said, who is this guy? Who's Stephen Hess? Is he a missionary? It's not clear in the article. So there we go. So maybe he is a missionary.
So this Elder Oliphant, which I know some Oliphants from
there. Are many
there.
Oliphants.
Well, good. Yeah, good. I mean, that's such a weird position to be in as a bishop or a stake president or a mission president, I'm sure.
Yes.
This stuff comes out as a confession of sin, and it's actually a legal issue, too. You're like, hey. Which we've seen a bunch of times, right? We've seen bishops be taken to court over not reporting, like reports of abuse and things like that.
Yeah.
And actually, it's weird because when you talk to, unless you're talking to the actual victim or offender, everything else is hearsay. Kind of weird all that goes.
Kind of weird.
Anywho,
you know what else is kind of weird? Other things that are weird. For example, thisweekinmormons.com. Strange. Salubrious.
Weird.
Place.
Hey, we got our iTunes feed fixed.
Yeah, allegedly.
And our RSS feed.
For those of you who have hung with us for, I kid you not, the past 100 episodes or something like that, where we have had messed up metadata with iTunes where it hasn't really fully said what the episode is. It's been a bunch of garbled HTML speak. Apparently it's fixed. And now it looks pretty.
Oh my gosh, are really going to talk about this now.
So just let us know if it does look pretty for you. Find us on iTunes, though, and on YouTube, and on Stitcher Radio. Everywhere you want to be.
Yeah, also on Facebook, facebook.com/thisweekinmormons. Or Twitter, twitter.com/therealtwin.
There it is, everyone. May you be blessed in your adventures into the future.
Yeah. Okay,
inshallah.
Thanks. All right, see you, Jeff.
Bye. Okay, bye, all. This has been This Week in Mormons, everyone, for the week of June mid-teens, 2013. Episode number 176, Transform the Booze. All right. Have a good week.
All right. All right, see ya.